You are now listening to the Photography Enthusiast Podcast. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Photography Enthusiast Podcast. As always, my name is Daniel Lee, or Photos by DLEE. This week we're going to be going over a few different things, mostly news related, but I did have a sort of a main topic based around some of the news this week that I sort of wanted to discuss. And that main topic is mainly on Adobe's updates to Camera Raw, Lightroom, and Photoshop. Now, like usual, we'll get into a bit of a personal update on what I've been up to over the past fortnight since the last episode. So the main update and most exciting part is, well, first, a small one that I finished exams so I can actually relax for a month. But the big sort of thing is I actually finally have bought the Samyang AF 85mm f1.4. I haven't received the lens yet. It's due to arrive sort of early this week. Hopefully, I'm hoping around Tuesday, Wednesday. Then, you know, by the weekend anyway, so I can go out and give it a good try. Now, I've been sort of debating over this lens for a long time. I think I even post about it on my blog. I've used to have the 85-1.4, the Sigma EX version. I absolutely love that lens. I love the rendering of the 1.4. When I switched to Sony, the 1.8 had like really raving reviews, so I decided to get it. I'd say when you're shooting at closer distances, I definitely do like the 1.8. It does a really great job. But if I want to do stuff like portraits, the 1.4 is on a different level. Now, I may post a link to it or post it in a blog post what I'm going to do later on. I have a post I'm working on what, you know, gear I currently use and why I use it sort of thing. I'm going to post why I switched to the 1.4 on there. But there's a little tool called depthoffieldsimulator.net. Now, they will show you, like, you can pretty much put in the focal lengths and it will simulate what the bokeh, what everything will look like, what the depth of field looks like. If you look 85-1.4 versus 1.8, there is a noticeable difference at, say, like a full body shot. You can definitely tell the difference. So for me, it's like, you know, you really can notice it. So for me, because of that difference, that's the main reason, you know, I really want it. I had that 1.4. This one, the Samyang, is only a few hundred dollars more than the 1.8. So if I sell off the 1.8, I should be able to get a decent amount back, so I'm not actually losing money on that. Well, I'm losing a little bit, but it's just like purchasing a new lens sort of thing. So next week's episode, my main topic will be impressions on that, and if I think it was worth getting that one over this one. You know, that'll be an exciting topic to discuss. Hopefully I can shoot with it enough to be able to give a more definitive decision of, yes, I'm so glad I bought this lens, or damn, why did I buy it? But I'm sure it'll be, I'm so glad I bought this lens, but I guess we'll wait till the next fortnight to see how that turns out. And in terms of camera industry updates, there's been a few mostly gear related. The first one to speak of, Tamron have announced the their 28 to 200 millimeter lens for Sony E-mount. This one has a maximum aperture of f2.8 on the wide end and f5.6 on the long end. And it also joins, I believe, the 1.2 macro abilities. Design wise, it looks and size is very similar to the 28-75. Apparently it's only 25 grams heavier than the 28-75, which is a good thing. Nice and small. For people who like these kind of super zooms that do everything in one, you know, it's a great option. You could get it as part of a kit. You know, you buy the body, buy this, is just that one lens that does everything if you're not too concerned. For me personally, I prefer sort of more specialized focal lengths. Something that covers such a large focal range generally wouldn't have the same image quality as something that's pure 24-70, 70-200, that kind of thing. There's quite a few sort of reviews out for it already. So if you are interested in a lens like this, you should go, you know, check it out. From what I can see, from some test images, you know, test images at 200 millimeters, it looks quite nice with very little distortion. Even at 70 millimeters, there is quite a bit of noticeable distortion. And as you get wider, it sort of gets a bit worse. But, you know, I think it's going to be a fairly reasonable price. It's $729 US from what I could see. So that is pretty cheap considering the focal lengths it covers. The other and most, or I'd say more interesting lens in my personal opinion, is the Sigma 100-400 f5.6 to f6.3. Now, usually when I saw this lens, I figured, hey, this is going to be just a DSLR version with an MC11. But supposedly, according to press releases, like the one on Petapixel, this one was designed, you know, exclusively for full-frame mirrorless cameras. So supposedly, it is a brand new design. I guess you could look at the lens elements and groups and compare it to the DSLR version, to see if they use that as a basis and just sort of changed it to work better with mirrorless. But I guess once some teardown tests are done, you'll actually know better. This, you know, is a very tempting lens. I don't do much birds or action, that kind of stuff, but for cityscapes, this would be a very nice lens, purely because you can get further distance, get some more unique views and perspectives. And I'm personally, as I go on, starting to like the look of a more compressed tele view of a city rather than a wide angle lens. I still do enjoy the wide angle lens, but you know, the tele is something different. It feels like something new when you try to use it. I barely do it myself because I don't know some good locations to get a decent distance to be able to utilize that telephoto focal length, but you know, if I had the spare cash, I'd say I'd definitely go for this one. So apparently it is already available for pre-order at $950, which is a really good price, and will be shipping on July 10th. I probably wouldn't buy this the second it comes out, but it's something I'll definitely keep my eye on. Historically, Sigma zooms haven't been as good as their primes, so it's a bit hard to say whether this will be, you know, really, really good from the start, or if it's something that will take some time to, you know, improve over firmware updates, or it's just sort of not as good as, say, if Tamron did it or a Sony, you know, first party brand 100-400. Once there's a lot more reviews out, I guess we'll be able to see and we'll get to know as a fact sort of thing. Not news, but apparently on the July 9th, it is said that the Canon EOS R6 and the R5 will be announced with a bunch of lenses. So whether this, you know, will actually happen and that date will stick is another thing, but I really can't wait to see what they offer, what they can do, and see them in full, because once this is announced, they're going to be pretty much pre-orders, I believe, after that. So I'm really, really excited to see that. You can expect to see an episode dedicated to that, talking about them once it comes out. Even though I shoot Sony, I'm a huge Canon fan, so you know, hopefully one day I might even be able to switch back. If I did do that, it'll probably be the R6. So for me, it's sort of like a very personal investment, a lot of interest in this and what it'll turn out to be. Now on to our main topic, which is also the news, is about all about Adobe's updates and what it could potentially mean for the future. Now the updates for that Adobe done were for both Photoshop, Lightroom, and Camera Raw. So what I'll do is I'll quickly go through and summarize what those updates were. So for Photoshop, the select subject was improved. So now it's supposed to be able to handle hair and, you know, shoot or select through hair a lot better compared to how it used to be. I do use the select subject a little bit, mainly for my product photography, not for people. Because, you know, generally if I'm shooting people, I keep the same background. I wouldn't do any composites. But, like, you know, for a lot of people, they do a lot of composites, so that can come in a lot of handy. Being able to have that more finer and accurate solution, especially if someone or the model or something has hair that's sort of, I don't know if frizzy would be the term, but you know, something that's not super straight and easy to cut out. Like my girlfriend's hair can sometimes be all over the place. Luckily she's not home and doesn't hear me saying this, but you know, that kind of thing. Like depending on what the subject is, I'm sure any improvement is a good thing. But if you do portraits, it'll probably hopefully be able to notice quite a big difference. Camera Raw update was the most exciting for me, and probably one of the biggest in terms of what the updates are. The actual interface of it has completely changed. Now it actually looks just pretty much similar to Lightroom. It has the panels to the right, just like how Lightroom does. You can have a select to have a film strip either down the bottom or to the left. They've really tried to change it and make it look a lot more Lightroom. There's a new crop tool, which is a lot more like Lightroom. Everything seems a lot nicer design-wise. The main reason I've always used Lightroom over Photoshop is purely because of the user interface and because I like the way Lightroom looked better. At the moment, the only thing that I would say that's keeping me using, or depending on what photo, keep me using Lightroom more than Photoshop, just for the basic raw adjustments, I still use Photoshop for the majority of my editing, that would be Photo Merge. So Photo Merge works really good, much better than Photoshop. You get a preview, you can adjust it to choose what type, like spherical, like view, I can't remember the except three ones, but you can change Photo Merge a lot better. If they implement that into Camera Raw, then goodbye Lightroom, to be honest, for me. I don't need Lightroom. I don't use the catalog feature. Catalog is usually the main feature of Lightroom, and that's why people use it. You can do that with Adobe Bridge apparently as well, whereas, you know, technically if you use Lightroom, you got Bridge and Camera Raw in one, so that's where the advantage comes in. But for me, I don't bother with the cataloging, so having that would not give any benefit to me personally. In terms of Lightroom Classic updates, they've improved the brush, adjustment brush. Now, adjustment brush is really good. I use it quite a bit. They've actually added a local hue now to it. So what that means is you can change the hue or the color of things using the adjustment brush. So say you have an image with, you know, all leaves and there's just one flower in the center. If you want to change the color of that one flower without adjusting the hue of everything in the photo, you can use a local adjustment brush, select that paint over that thing to select it, and then change the color of just that. Doesn't sound like a lot, but it actually makes, you know, a big difference and makes it a lot easier. Because before, you know, doing it in Photoshop was the easiest. Add a saturation layer, select the color, and adjust it from there, then mask it and do it. Now you can do that in Photoshop. So they are making Lightroom a lot more powerful, which is definitely a good thing, but I'll say why. I don't know if it's a good thing or not later on. For those people who like to crop as well, as you know, when you open up the crop tool, it will come up with a rule of thirds. Now they've changed it. So there's all different sort of layouts that you can do there. You can, there's guides. You can do center crop. You can do all different kinds of, I forgot all the different terms, but you can do all different types of crop styles from there, all different guides. So rather than just be one guide only, you can do all different guides. There's lots of videos summarizing all these changes and how to use them. So it's definitely worth checking out. Now comes to what my sort of main question about these updates is. So as someone who, as I mentioned, doesn't really use Lightroom as much as Photoshop and prefers Photoshop, I wonder what my future and the future of Lightroom will be like. So as everyone knows, originally, you know, you used to be able to get standalone versions, then Adobe brought in the subscription model. Adobe said, don't worry, you'll be able to get the standalone model for the foreseeable, you know, forever. We're not going to get rid of it. Creative Cloud did so well, then they decided to get rid of it, not offer standalone. So forcing people to actually subscribe to the cloud. Then they introduced Adobe Lightroom, and now the original Lightroom is Lightroom Classic. As soon as they added that classic name, people started to worry Adobe's going to get rid of it, which, you know, I didn't know about it back then, but now I'm starting to definitely think they will probably get rid of it. You're probably wondering, what is the advantage to getting rid of Adobe Lightroom? They get the cloud version to match the performance of the physical version. Then you'd think, yeah, there's no issue. But because if you want to catalog your images using the cloud version, that means you would need to store your images in Adobe's cloud services. So which means you'd need to pay for their cloud storage, which most people don't want to do. Most people use Dropbox, Google Drive. Like myself, I use OneDrive. I would not pay for that. So if it comes down to it, I would just straight up Adobe Camera Raw and Photoshop, because I don't need Bridge. I just need to get the free Adobe DNG converter, input my images, convert to DNG, and I can use Camera Raw and Photoshop solely. I don't care about Lightroom, but for a lot of people who do solely use Lightroom, prefer Lightroom, use the cataloging, it's a big issue. When we'll see Adobe get rid of it, or if they get rid of it, who knows, might take a few years, might be, you know, happens in a few weeks or months, no idea. I would say once you see the cloud version of Lightroom match the desktop version, then you're going to see, you know, you can start to say goodbye to Lightroom Classic as we know it. But until then, keep using it. Just keep that in mind that you should get used to using both Adobe Camera Raw and Photoshop, because who knows how safe the future of Lightroom would be until Adobe sort of say something. But even if they do say it, we'll keep Lightroom Classic forever. They said that about the standalone copies of items as well. Not just Photoshop and that, but also Audition and that. Like I, you know, obviously prefer to use Audition, but because of how expensive it is to use that Creative Cloud, well, actually, I think it's about 28 AUD just for Adobe Audition by itself. Whereas the Photoshop and Lightroom package is only about $15. If they did increase that, then that will obviously change stuff as well. People probably would switch to Camera C1, Capture One. Capture One is really good. I've tried it a few times because you get a free version with Sony. It's honestly much better RAW editor. It seems to get the details out of the image without being as destructive and introducing noise. Better than Lightroom, but I'm used to the Lightroom interface and I love using DNG. So that's sort of what stops me from using just Capture One and Photoshop. That might change in the future, especially if we get rid of Lightroom and I got no choice. But for the foreseeable future, I'll keep using Lightroom, keep using Photoshop, but Camera Raw is getting better and better. I'll probably start using that a lot more in comparison. Now this concludes this episode, so thank you for listening. If you'd like to see tutorials, reviews, or find older episodes of this show, you can find it at tpepodcast.xyz. If you'd like to see my personal work, you can find me at photosbydlwe.com. All of these links will be in the show notes, otherwise you can find my links and everything from my website. If you did enjoy this episode, make sure to subscribe so you can be notified when we release a new episode every fortnight. Otherwise, thank you very much for listening, and I hope you enjoyed it. Bye.